You are listening to the Political Periscope, a weekly podcast brought to you by Radio WNET. Interviews on international politics, security, geopolitics, economy, and more, every Thursday at 7 p.m.
Today's guest of the Political Periscope is Yanis Bordas, Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of Justice of the Republic of Latvia.
Political Periscope.
When Radio WNET was in Riga in May this year, we've heard about plans of destroying a victory monument here in Riga. How is the process? Because I've seen the monuments still standing.
We need technical preparation to destroy such a very huge monument, and we call it Occupants Monument, not Victory Monument. And if you see that right today, I saw there are some techniques starts to work and on technical destroyment. This is starting already, but I understand the question. What more is maybe in general, this was a very long and complicated story with this monument because in some period when Putin started came to his power in very beginning process, and Putin started this aggressive Russia's policy. Also, he tried to impact neighbor countries like Ukraine and Baltic states. And such kind of monuments are the part of hybrid war and part of informational war. Somehow in diplomatic process, it was established as some kind part of agreement between Latvia and Russia in period when the Russian army was in Latvia. And the larger this army was more than 200,000 soldiers with all possible technique. And this monument wasn't included in this agreement, but as I told in during this Putin's diplomacy, it was pressured that this is according to the agreement. And now when Russia started the war and war crimes in Ukraine, Latvian society and lawyers, including in Ministry of Justice, we elaborated our ground that legally there is no any restrictions, international restrictions, agreement restrictions, to finally to made Latvia's and the capital city of Riga to make it's our own and free from all memories of occupation, repression and the war crimes period.
You've mentioned informational warfare and disinformation, and it's a very complicated topic because there are many controversies around juridical tools to fight disinformation. What's the situation with struggle against disinformation on the law level in Latvia?
I would say that we have more issues with enforcement of rules against disinformation rather than legal obstacles. I think each country, including Latvia, every country can protect itself against the disinformation because we protect freedom of speech, we protect democratic values, we protect freedom of people, but disinformation is everything against that. Disinformation is the tool how to occupy any country, how to disintegrate society in the country. I could say that Latvians are very keen to observe all rules and orders, and that is very positive because we are rule law-abiding society. And the issue is that simply possibly society were kind of afraid of afraid of conflict, and therefore very long period we I would say our institutions allowed this disinformation to be in Latvian information area. Also, it wasn't so easy because also in European Union there were not understanding that information that was published in Kremlin media, that this information is not about freedom of speech. This information were mostly about really, as you mentioned, information warfare.
Freedom and human rights are often invoked by Russia to its own use, as in the case of Russians living in Latvia. And the legal situation around them is quite complicated.
Again, I would say that the legal situation is quite clear, because in the very beginning of restoration of our independence, we settled all possibilities for persons who were replaced to live in Latvia from Russia, that those persons have their rights to become Latvian citizens. And we also live for 30 years already in independent Latvia, and I would say everybody everybody was possible in quite easy procedure to become a Latvian citizen. And the persons who didn't choose this possibility, yes, they probably are with some difficulties, but from other side, those persons largely they choose this status, either Russian citizens or non-citizen status in Latvia, because they have a more easy communication and traveling regulations to Russia. And therefore, they choose to live in Latvia because in Latvia there are prosperity and democracy. But to travel to their relatives or maybe to some business advantages, they use this status.
Russians want to travel to Europe, and Latvia is among countries that won't allow them to travel to Europe. I'm talking about a visa ban for Russians in Schengen. What's your opinion on the subject?
Yeah, and that's this issue that we have to understand, that now Russia declared, in fact, war against Europe, against NATO countries, with saying that the NATO army have to left Baltic states and other territories that Russia wants to include in their influence area. And therefore, we are in fact de facto in a situation of war. And in that situation, more restrictions are possible, and some restrictions are necessary for state security issues. In Latvia, indeed, we had been good territory for Russians to make business there. Russian language mostly are speaking in the Latvia, and as I mentioned, rule of law and democracy is observed in Latvia, and also free market as well. And all those good things we offer for persons, but also we have to think about our own security to protect those values, and therefore some restrictions are necessary in the period of war.
Even some Western experts, commentators, politicians say that it's a collective responsibility and it's injustice. There is no place for it in democratic world.
Yes, yes, I agree. I would say just agree. You mean that?
I mean that they say that we shouldn't punish the whole society for Putin's war. That it's collective responsibility and it shouldn't be applied.
I would say from other perspective, it's our collective responsibility of all Europeans to protect our freedom values and not to allow the aggressor state and the aggressor state citizens to destroy our countries and our freedoms. And we are not banning possibly visas forever. We are not banning and punishing the citizens of other country until they are stopping the war, until they are becoming the country that is also share our values. And we see that somehow also society are responsible for the leaders they have chosen and for support of the war. But as regards to visas, visas have been issued to individuals. And up to now, in Latvia, in fact, we can say that more Russian citizens have arrived since the 90s, since restoration of independence in one short period. And those are persons who are trying to escape from Russia, escape from their regime, including journalists and including not only both politicians and businessmen. And our immigration services just following to strict rules to look on to whom issue visas. But since this immigration is escalating, and since we have seen some kind of signs of trying to impact our local policy, I think we need to be very careful and to include in our laws also more obstacles to such very free travel. Because I mentioned that, yes, we are a free country and we have to protect free people. But if they are trying to impact somehow our internal policy, then we have to stop it.
And what should happen with the leaders of Russia after the war?
Depending of how the war will end, my hope and is that those leaders will be sentenced by court, that there will be a tribunal, of international tribunal, who will make a court and decide about punishment against war criminals. At this moment, I would call Putin's and all his inner and larger circle, all the leaders in Russia, as war criminals.
And what punishment would you like for them?
That is up to lawyers and up to judges who are experts of international laws, and I would rely on them. The only we have no problem with good judges that can decide the judgments. On that moment, the politician, both politicians and lawyers, all the society are looking for good solutions how to really to organize this tribunals and international courts, and this is and also of course military is working how to win the war for Ukraine and for Europe, and afterwards we can make decisions.
Do you think it will be a special tribunal or one of already existing tribunals or international courts?
That is issue that have not been solved yet, and I think it's not it would not be my my question and my business to say there which way we will choose. This is international society decision, and I think both ways are possible. Highly, for me, I believe to special international tribunal could be established.
Last thing I want to ask you. National recovery plan in Poland, kind of complicated relation between European Commission and Polish government. This topic of Supreme Court disciplinary chamber and the procedure of election of judges for disciplinary chamber. Finally, it was cancelled, and we have now Chamber of Professional Responsibility. How does it look in Latvia? How do you appoint judges in Latvia? And what do you think about this conflict between European Commission and Poland over the court and over the money from recovery plan?
So, in first of all, about Latvia. So we have quite strict procedure and detail in details elaborated procedure how to appoint judges, and there they have been appointed according to examination, ethical procedure, testing of ethical professionalism and knowledge of law and work experience, and this is this has been done already in good procedure, independent procedure, and judges deciding by themselves, I would say, and also government secure the all technical questions or procedures and assist as administrators, administrative order for the court, for the justice. And I don't see the issues in Latvia, the problems, except just like technically, as in usually you can have some in societies, but we are solving them. As regards to Poland, I don't have any objections against Polish government, and I have no objections about policy, how Polish both courts and government is solving their issues. This is the matter of independent state of Poland. And nobody can say that Poland is not a state of justice, that Poland is not a democratical state, that in Poland doesn't exist dividing of powers. This is absurd. This would be absurd. And conflict that we see in period of several years, I think it's more complicated than just to say that some Polish ministry or some persons is not observing rule of law. I think the roots are somewhere more deep. The roots also are connected with both economical and maybe political point of views of Polish society, Polish government, and governments of Germany and France, as all three are large countries. They are competitors somehow in European Union. But to show it like only the issue of rule of laws in Poland, I could not agree with that, because I understand that every country can have their internal problem. I absolutely can say that also Latvia is not without without any issues and discussions, and also I have constant discussions with my colleagues in Supreme Court, and we are deciding our internal issues in Justice Council, in Parliament, in government, and that is every country. And I would say that from outside, somebody could say also that we also have some problems if we are looking on just one side, if on one judge who will mention that it have some issues or disputes with Minister of Justice, and that is possible. But to make this as a general issue of government, it would be I would hardly believe on it. But I believe that that the European Commission and Poland will and also we are part of that process, and we will support all decisions that will bring us to we have to stop internal conflicts in the European Union. This is what the Russian wants. This is what is for Russia very good. And we see how Russia used some time by time some big European Union countries to divide European Union. And now during the war, I would call for all countries to stop internal conflicts and look on most important issues.
This was the Political Periscope. The podcast is released every Thursday at 7 p.m.